Hey, deserving listeners, it's just me today. Today, I had an email exchange with a listener who is in a training program in which she's being trained to be a therapist, and she is running into issues of social justice in the program. It seems to her that her program is entering into a crisis in which the students and the faculty are at severe odds with each other. And the perception is that from the students is that the instructors are not being culturally responsive, as we say, or they're not embodying the social justice mission of their training program. Now, in this episode, I'm not going to mention the program or the school or the person who emailed with me, so don't get your hopes up there, but for obvious reasons, I think. But I will be talking in general about this topic because she emailed me and she was like, you know, I'm kind of working up to this situation where I feel like I should really do something, and I want to head into it with as much information as possible, and I know that she was saying to me, she's like, I know that you were a program director and teach in a program that values social justice, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on this. Is it okay if we talk? So we talked on the phone for a couple hours, I think. It was at least an hour. And as I was talking, I thought, maybe I should do a podcast about this. It's actually a common occurrence, much more common than I think one might imagine, in which students enter a program, a counseling program, with the impression and perhaps the promise that the program will embody social justice values and morals and will be socially just, or at the very least will have policies and procedures in place that will assist social justice. And one of the interesting things about, you know, a training program is there's a hierarchy, right? You have the program faculty and the program director and all those people who are above the students because it's just the nature of training programs, right? So there's already this power situation. Anyway, my point is here is that in my anecdotal experience, these sorts of conflicts are much more common than I think people would imagine them to be. And in my anecdotal experience, the resolution of these issues are fraught with failure on behalf of the faculty. My program is ever growing. It's been growing ever since it began in the 90s. And now my program that I teach in at Antioch University Seattle is very large. There's hundreds of students within the master's degree program and dozens upon dozens of new instructors now, and lots of adjunct instructors, lots of courses, and the chance that at least one of the courses is going to have some conflict regarding social justice and culture between the students themselves or between the students and the instructors or between the instructors and the administration. I mean, all the players involved, there's you know, a high likelihood that there's going to be conflict somewhere. And as faculty and as a program director for 2 years, I have been at the ground zero of those conflicts at times. And so I've had a lot of experience with it. And as I was talking with this listener over the phone today, I thought, you know, I have a lot of things that I want to talk about with this. I'm really quite passionate about it. I also get asked these sorts of questions a lot from prospective students because we have open house where prospective students will come to open house and they'll ask me questions and they'll say, like, you know, how does this program deal with social justice and how does this program deal with conflicts between students and faculty? So the first 100 times I was asked that question, I was just like, you know, how do I put that into words? And by me responding to those questions, and then leaving open house and actually saying, huh, I should probably practice what I preach there. It creates just sort of ongoing development for me regarding how to create a socially just training program for everybody, for clients, for the community, for students, for faculty, for administration, for supervisors, for everybody, for staff. They're often forgotten too. And so it's been something that I've developed over time. And I've also seen a lot of people who I look up to who have done things, and people that I've seen people who have done things that have been very much of a failure. And I see a sort of typical reaction from programs when they are faced with a dilemma that I want to talk about today, because I find that a lot of programs, what they end up doing are the same mistakes over and over and over again, and they miss the whole point of how to create a socially just program. Now, for those of you who don't know what I mean by socially just, basically what I mean is like oppression and unfairness, things like racism, sexism, this kind of thing, are kept to a minimum, or are at least addressed in such a way that everyone's experience is optimized. Let's just put it that way. That sexism happens, and racism happens, and ableism happens, and ageism happens. But when it happens and it is made known to people, what's the response? And also, what's the preemptive response? What are people doing to reduce that sort of thing? How do we open up conversations about it? These are extremely complicated things that when I started in the field, I have to say I had a very rudimentary, sort of simplistic idea of what this all meant. And what it is just so much more complex than that, and nuanced, and ever present, and diffuse through every experience, and it gets weird, you know. Some of the things that I end up having to think about and talk about, I'm blown away at the complexity as I try to grasp what's happening. It's just an incredibly complex thing that there's a lot of faculty, and maybe me in my early career, who are walking around feeling like they understand it, you know, like they got it. There's like, yeah, I do this and this and this, and that's okay. And through my development, I've learned that's impossible. There's no way that you got it. There's no way that you get it. There's no way that you're not screwing it up all the time. There's just no way, because it's so weird. And there's so many things that are happening that you're not aware of, and people don't feel comfortable enough to tell you. And you know, particularly as a man for myself, and just how much I just don't know that's happening around me. So, anyway, I sound like a stoner right now, but basically that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about my program in terms of the formal elements that we have in place, policies, procedures, things written down regarding social justice. But mainly I want to talk about the informal things, and I want to give examples. Welcome to the Psychology in Seattle podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kirk Honda. I'm a therapist and a professor. This episode is just for patrons of the podcast. So if you're listening to this so far and you're not a patron of the podcast, this episode will end before the content begins. If you want to hear the full episode, you have to become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. That's patreon.com. When you become a patron, you'll get an email, and pay very close attention to those emails, because for some people, it's going to their spam, or they're not, or they're deleting it or something, because there's an automatic email that's sent to you regarding the how to access the patron exclusive episodes. So keep your eye out for that. Also, know that when you become a patron, a portion of your monthly pledge goes towards various charities that we support, and you also don't have to listen to the majority of the commercials when you become a patron. So do so now. Go to patreon.com. This episode is probably going to be at least an hour, maybe more. It's just looking at my notes here. So yeah, go to patreon.com, become a patron.